Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. I'm Pam Spencer along with Darren Schulman and Gage Tellez, and we're going to talk lots of hockey. The Blue Jackets looking pretty darn good these days, and we'll see how things continue. We've got a long road trip coming up, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. The injured reserve list really hasn't changed at all that we know of, which is a good sign. So, hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Oh, it's always good when you're on a winning streak. I mean, my goodness, this is fantastic. What about you, Darren?
Medically, I'm getting over the flu, but from a Blue Jackets fan standpoint, I'm doing great.
Yay. No, not yay that you have the flu, but yay that the Blue Jackets are doing well. Well, thanks for joining us. And let's start out with our rules guru, Darren, who is a little under the weather, but still doing the show with us. And we thank you for that. And you are going to test our skills on the NHL rules.
Yes. And we basically talked about this last week, so you've had a whole week to research. But I have the exact rules for substitutions for people coming into the game.
Okay.
So you've kind of alluded to this. You were kind of right, but I'm just going to hit you with this, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And Gage can chime in too. What is the procedure for people subbing in and off the ice during the game? And I guess for people who are very new beginners of hockey, which you probably aren't listening to the show, but it's not like a normal sport where you substitute when there's a dead play or the game stopped. You actually substitute while the game is going.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So people might not realize that, like, you know, football, you have to wait till a play's over. So what is the rule, Pam? How do you substitute? You see these dudes flying in and out and you can't really figure out what's going on. What's going on?
Well, the one thing we talked about on the last show was the fact that they can't sit on the boards with their skate on the skates on the side of the ice where all the movement is happening, because someone could go by and get sliced. So they changed that this year. They do have to stay on the other side of the boards, for the bench area, if you will. And it's my understanding from years past that, and I assume it may still be the same, I don't know if they've changed anything on this, but the players that are about to come into the game have to stay within 24 inches or 2 feet from the bench area of the boards, and they cannot play the puck because they're not in the game yet. They have to wait until the for instance, the players that they're replacing, they have to wait until they're within that two foot range before they can step on out into the playing area on the ice.
You're close. Okay. Gaze, do you want to stick your finger into this this battle, or you want me to degrade Pam on her knowledge?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm honestly kind of surprised they were allowed to, like before this season, that mm-hmm. they were even allowed to have their skate just hanging out.
Yeah, they used to sit up on the boards in front of the bench.
Like, I honestly thought that was kind of crazy, but no, I got nothing. Give me the answer.
Well, Pam, you are close, but there's some nuances here where you're only going to get a solid B because you have the right concept.
Okay.
But that's good. So players can be changed at any time during play from the bench, as long as the player leaving the ice is within 5 feet of the bench and out of play before the change is made. So first of all, that number is 5 feet instead of two, which is, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But also, so the way it works is when you get within 5 feet of the bench, the other guy can jump on the ice. Now, when the player retiring from the ice is within 5 feet and his substitute is on the ice, the retiring player is now off the ice for purposes of play.
Correct.
So the guy skating off, he's within 5 feet. New guy jumps on. That guy who's within 5 feet coming off the ice cannot touch the puck or play it or do anything. So that's the guy who can't do anything. The new guy can.
Okay. The new guy can. The previous player cannot.
Previous player cannot. If the previous player does, that's a penalty for too many men on the ice, which is a bench minor penalty.
Right.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay.
So if you watch now that we know, when we watch the subs, you see the guys kind of skating towards the ice. They usually skate pretty fast because they got to get within that 5 feet mm-hmm. so the other guy can jump on. I kind of noticed this once I read the rule. When they get within the 5 feet, they tend to slow down and kind of coast the rest of the way because they're just done, mm-hmm. and they have to kind of not touch that puck even if it's coming at them.
Right.
So sometimes they'll jump over it or move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that new guy just goes like crazy because he's in the play now. He's the one who's active.
He's on in the game. Yep. Okay.
Now, I have seen a penalty where the guy, like, punch someone or kick the puck or something, you know, when he was coming off. And that is a 2 minute. I have seen the too many men on the ice penalty.
For yeah,
that. I've seen that quite a few times this season, actually. I mean, not with us, but with other teams, because I have ESPN Plus, so I watch the other teams, and I've seen that penalty quite a lot this season, especially.
So, yeah, you guys did well. You did well, Pam. I think the only difference is the 2-5 and which person's active. The guy coming on is active right away. So I'm going to give you a solid passing effort.
What do you think that I'm thinking of as far as that two-foot range from years past, like several years ago? Wonder why I have 2 feet in my head.
I don't know. I didn't see it anywhere around those rules.
Okay.
I know there's a rule, and I could look it up for maybe next week. There's that rule about what you can do with the puck, like with your hand. Like, I know you can't bat it or whatever. You can drop it. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a 2 foot there. I'll have to look for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
That's my favorite play in hockey, by the way, when the puck's up high in the air and the guy has to jump up and catch it, but he can't throw it, so he just kind of drops it.
Has to just drop it immediately.
It's
they
like
can't
he's
even
catching
hold
it and drop down.
Yeah, they can't even hold it for more than a second.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, you know, while we're at it, let's talk about, you know, the last couple of games, because there was three of them that happened since we last spoke to you. So we were coming out of a win against the Seattle Kraken with 6-2, right? And then we had the St. Louis Blues. So this time we were hoping to continue the winning streak, and we did that successfully. 2-1 was the final score. Jackets over the Blues. Darren, you have any thoughts on a road win, by the way? That's good.
First of all, shocking road win against a team we should have probably beaten. So all the history suggested we would trip on that one. Is that the one where Tarasov came back?
No, Tarasov came back with the Flyers game on Tuesday the 14th.
At home, yeah.
At home.
Because we'll talk about that. But, yeah, so I think the 2-1 game, and, again, I'm a little hazy. Is that the one where we were winning most of the game, and then we can't give up a late goal?
Yeah, we were actually up 2-0 for majority of the game, and then the Blues got one behind us in the third.
Yeah, and I think
I was totally rooting for a shutout. I think they scored that goal with like 10 seconds left
right.
or something.
Jet Greaves was in net, right?
That's correct.
And I was hoping he would get a shutout, but it didn't work out. But we still won the game. That's all that matters. 2 points for us and none for the Blues.
But also, you mentioned Jet Greaves. That's huge, especially on the road, of Jet almost getting a shutout in the NHL. Like that, he's getting better and better. But also,
it would have been his first, I think.
Yeah, would have been probably his first NHL career shutout. But, you know, speaking on the goalie situation, very interestingly and surprisingly, on the 14th, which was our next game, the Flyers were coming back to town. And for those who remember, the last time the Flyers were at Nationwide Arena, they pretty much stomped all over us. And Elvis was in the net that game. And Darren, I think, were you at that game? I know I was.
Yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah, that was a very sad night and quiet night at Nationwide Arena. However, it was totally different on Tuesday's game. Daniil Tarasov was the starting goalie, and right away I texted Pam as I'm getting to my seat. I said, the only reason I can think that Tarasov is starting is, one, he's coming out of confidence out of Cleveland, but also when we sent him to Cleveland, he didn't do so well. So I was questioning it. But also, the Flyers were kind of so far down there. Maybe this was just a chance. Okay, not the largest deal if the Flyers beat us. They're so far down there, it doesn't even matter. So let's give Tarasov some ice time, which made sense. Or two, the coach just said, you know what? We had Jet last week. Tarasov, this is your game.
Right.
You know, and they make these decisions as close to game time as possible. So I don't know if we know anything, if something was wrong with Elvis. Elvis was there as a backup, so
he was on the bench.
Right. So I personally don't think something was wrong with Elvis, but go ahead.
It's one of those weird decisions that makes no sense when you think about it, but it works. So you're like, well, clearly he's a genius. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Well,
a backup who's hot, who just had a good game. You know, I don't understand it, but it worked.
Well, they have to make sure that they balance these guys, and you don't want Tarasov starting to fall behind. He's already in that position, and they sent him to Cleveland. Originally, he denied. Then he went anyway, and I think that was more so an effort to boost his confidence.
Yep.
And it's ironic that we ended up winning in a shootout.
Yes, and I may add, during that game, Tarasov has had a lot of saves. I don't remember the exact number in front of me, but he did a phenomenal job majority of the game. Now, of course, he did allow one in very early in the first period, which did have me kind of worried there for the whole game. But then the Jackets, Zach Werenski, by the way, quick with a runaway goal. And then he got a second one that night and almost had a hat trick in overtime, by the way. But Kirill Marchenko got that final goal there for the shootout and then making us win. But yeah, the fact, and that was another thing. I had a couple of fans sitting next to me. They're like, okay, so we're in overtime. Jackets aren't very good in overtime. Let's put Elvis back out there. And I was like, well, hold on though. Like, this whole game has been great. I believe in Tarasov, right?
Yeah. You can't then, swap your goalie out overtime.
It doesn't work that way. Right. No, I think this was a new fan next to me, so I just kind of let them say their will.
Right.
But also in the shootout, Tarasov did very well, only allowing, I think, one in. But then other than that, we had a shootout win, 3-2 final. And that game right there changes my thinking a little bit from Tarasov, because I was a bit worried. And to be honest with you, you could still have the right to be a bit worried. But the fact that his performance was very, very well, in fact, I think his best performance this season on that game, really had me confident. And honestly, Darren, I don't know about you, or and Pam, I know you and I talked about this. I was kind of expecting, since we're on a roll here, Tarasov had a good game, the Sharks aren't good at all. San Jose Sharks, they're last in the Western, in the Pacific Conference, by the way. Maybe, why not start Tarasov again? Give him another chance, you know? Because the goal is to balance out the goalies, give Tarasov more ice time against a team that isn't so well, and you have the help with the fifth line at home. So I'm curious to, it was interesting to see Elvis in, but at the same time, I understand why we kind of put Elvis in, because he's been benched since the Seattle Kraken game, which was a week ago, by the way. So we don't want to rest him too much.
Well, there's that.
What
and
do
also
you think the plan is at goalie? Because you usually don't roll three. Usually you have two, and one gets like 2/3, and the other one gets the second day of it back-to-back. It's like, I don't know how they're going to balance three goalies if that's what the plan
okay,
is.
Okay, well, first of all, let's stick with this San Jose Sharks game and why they put Elvis in rather than Tarasov again. Remember, Tarasov was hurt last year.
That's correct.
So we may be, you know, right on the borderline of his injury as far as, you know, recuperation. I don't know if you've ever had any type of major injury, but I can tell you when I broke my ankle, it was literally 2 years before all of the pain was gone.
Yeah.
All of it. So, and that's just an average everyday person. That's not an athlete.
Yeah.
But so I would say that it didn't surprise me that they didn't put Tarasov in against the Sharks. But as far as your comment, Darren, regarding running three goalies, we are a playoff team at the current numbers. And and we've talked about the fact that once you hit a certain, and I don't have the date in front of me, but there's a certain point in the season where if you have made the playoffs, then you are running three goalies. Once you hit the playoffs, you're running three goalies. So I think that's why they're rotating these three, because they want to make sure that they're all up to speed, because it looks quite possible that we will. Currently, we are in a playoff spot, and if we can continue on this run, we'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, we're actually pretty far into the playoffs, and the reason why I say that is because the Flyers, who are behind us, they're sitting at 46 points, 20-20-6, and Jackets are right now at 22-17-6 with 50 points. And you know, it almost makes sense, because you got to have all three perfectly healthy goalies, and Jet Greaves, you know, gosh, that young man is phenomenal, and to keep his momentum going, whether he's down here or up in Cleveland, send him up there. Let him get a couple games in to continue his streak, right? And then whenever we need him, we bring him down here. But also, it's good to keep him good experience with the NHL as well as the AHL.
Darren, since you're the person that likes to look up the specifics of rules and whatnot, can you look up for the next show what the rules are regarding the three goalies? You get to carry three once you hit the playoffs. And between now and then, how many times can we send Jet Greaves down or up? We call it down to Columbus because they're coming down 71 from Cleveland.
Yep.
But it's actually up to the NHL. There's a certain number that they can do that, but there's a point where you could risk losing him, and I'm sure they won't do that.
Right.
Can you kind of touch on that?
I'll try to look into that.
When you have a chance.
Yeah, I know
there
was a there's a roster change that happens, I think, in the playoffs, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And that, but I don't know if you usually play all three of those dudes. Usually you have them because you can. I know that's when we got a couple years ago, the Blue Jackets picked up some goalie that
We've done that a couple times. And the reason you want three is so that you always have somebody, and you have two reserves at that point if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
So, or you can do that emergency guy sitting in the stands that we've talked about.
We don't want to do that in the playoffs if we can keep from it.
Yeah, no.
Gage and I can be your goalie for you.
I wouldn't sign up to be a goalie. I'm not that fast. I can tell you that right now with a puck coming at me at 90 miles an hour.
That's right.
But, you know, Jackets are on a 6-game winning streak right now. So the thing we have to work on, though, in order to continue to be a playoff team is the road games. Now, it seems like we do have okay-ish when it comes to on the road. Like, let's say we have a home game, then an away game, two home games, one away. We do good with that. However, when we have these long streak of away games, that seems to be where we're falling. And as of today, as of this recording on January 17th, Jackets have, let's see, four away games.
Yeah.
And then we only got one home game, then we're right back on the road again that next week. So we go to New York, we play the Rangers, Islanders, then of course we go all the way up to Toronto, and the Maple Leafs are on fire this season as well. And then same with the Hurricanes, because we go right there, back to back.
That one's back to back.
Yeah, back to back road games. So this is something that I think we still need to work on in order to continue. Because, like, once again, for those who missed it, the Jackets are the highest home scoring team in the NHL. No other team has scored this many goals at home than the Blue Jackets this season. And that's a great record to have. But we need to work on that on the road.
On the road.
Yes.
Yes.
We got to keep the momentum on the road. And I'm curious to see what the team's plan is to hopefully fix that. Now, of course, when we talk to you next week, we'll be four away games in the bag, and we'll see how that outcome goes.
Right.
Because we are kind of catching up to the Hurricanes. I know, Graham, you mentioned this a bunch of times that this doesn't really matter, but if you think about it, like, Hurricanes were so far up there. I mean, they were at least 20 points above us. But as we stand today, we are only 5 points below the Hurricanes right now. And that, for me as a Jackets fan, that makes me feel good, because the Hurricanes are really good, and we caught up that fast. Mm-hmm. Now, the Hurricanes need to keep losing, obviously, and we need to keep winning for that to happen. And Hurricanes, their schedule, let's just say, is not very hard. So that's going to be a challenge, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
This weekend is going to be tough because of the Rangers and then the Islanders. And I think the Rangers are definitely going to gun for us. Of course, they have Panarin. So.
Well, and they're all, the Rangers are also starting to get a little bit better, too. Because, you know, they didn't have a very good first half of the season at all. But right now, Rangers are at 21-20 with 3-45 points. Mm-hmm. So they're right now, and they won last game, too. So they're on a winning streak right now. So it's going to be a very interesting challenge for the Rangers and the Jackets as well.
Go ahead, Darren.
I'll say a couple thoughts about this road trip. One, I don't have the stats to necessarily back this up, but anecdotally, I believe we do better on the East Coast road trips or those West Coast swings. We seem to just get brutalized when we go out to California.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So we have a chance. Also, these games, this swing is important because these are all in our conference. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
we're fighting with just points with people we're fighting for the playoffs with, but also those points matter more. So we do need to come out of this better than getting swept. Let's put it that way.
And you know, and the Flyers have actually kind of climbed out of last place too, because they're only 4 points below us. But this Pam's going to love this. The Penguins are on a 3-game losing streak right now. So Penguins are 44 points, and they're now second last place in the Metropolitan Division, sitting at 18-20-8 with 44 points. So
they're not used to being there.
Yeah, something's going on with Pittsburgh that I'm quite curious, because they haven't been winning home games either. Like, I think that their home game streak is not very good at all. My uncle's a huge Penguins fan, and I've talked to him a bunch of times. Like, he's got like bobbleheads and everything. Like, he's that big of a fan. And he said that all of the Penguins games he's been to this year, they have not won. So I don't know.
So tell him to keep going.
Yes.
Buy him some tickets.
Buy him some tickets.
Buy him some tickets, yeah. But also, I mean, I think we kind of understand, we know what's going on with the Penguins. Those guys are aging. They got a very aging team there. The Penguins really need to consider hiring some rookies. I know this much, they may not like that, but that's just how it works. You know,
yes.
People get older, they don't skate as fast. And then when you have a young team like the Blue Jackets coming in with pretty much mostly rookies and right. how well they're doing, it's going to come right past you, especially Crosby over there in
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh.
Let's take a break for just a minute. I want to go over some other information hockey-wise around Central Ohio. Number 8 OSU men are now 15-6-1, and they are off this weekend. They head to Penn State next weekend. And number 2 OSU women, 15-5-3 is their current record. They are at the Minnesota Duluth games for this weekend. And again, OSU women are the defending NCAA women's hockey champs. And they have been pretty much sitting in number 2 behind Wisconsin all season. So we're going to keep an eye on them for the remainder of the season.
They've been battling Wisconsin
yes,
for the last couple of years, especially
yeah.
that, what was the Winter Classic up there in Chicago? Mm-hmm. I watched that one, and it was so fun to see the girls come out on top at the very end there.
High school hockey standings, capitalhockeyconference.com will give you the information I'm about to tell you. Red Division, number 1, New Albany. They just keep staying right there at the top. Olentangy Braves have moved up from 5th to 2nd. UA, St. Charles, Olentangy Liberty, Cincinnati Molar, and Olentangy Berlin round out your Red Division. The White Division, number 1, Dublin Jerome for the second week in a row, followed by Dublin Kaufman, Olentangy Orange, and St. Xavier. And the Blue Division, Gahanna Lincoln, stays at the top, followed by Worthington Kilbourne, Bishop Watterson, and Thomas Worthington. Now, those are your OHSAA hockey teams, high school hockey teams. And then we also like to go over the current standings for the club hockey league, because those kids work really hard too. And you can get their full schedule and maybe attend a game at GCHSCHL. That's Greater Columbus High School Club Hockey League, GCHSCHL.net. Varsity Gold is Dayton Gold, Hilliard Wildcats, the Miami Redhawks, and the Newark Generals, your Varsity Silver. Right now, the Dayton Silver are at the top of that list, followed by the PHA Prowlers, Westerville Warcats, Northeast Storm, and Athens Bobcats. And the junior varsity division of the club leagues right now, we've got, the Dayton Stealth, Newark Generals, Miami Redhawks, Hilliard Wildcats, Westerville Warcats, Irish Eagles, PHA Prowlers, Northeast Storm, Columbus Ice Hockey, and Dublin Irish. Those are the teams rounding out the list in junior varsity hockey right now for the club sport. And if you need any information as far as if your child is interested in playing hockey, they can start at the Columbus Blue Jackets. They have a separate rink that's on the backside of Nationwide Arena, and those kids have a lot of fun from about the age of 3, I think. And
wow.
they'll set you up with the free gear, and your kid gets to try it. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg to mom and dad. It'll pick up once you get beyond about, I think, the age of 6 or something. I'd have to look it up. But
then it does cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah, once you hit that, then you're looking at some pretty good costs. But, you know, if your kid's interested in hockey, that's the way to do it.
And who knows? That might turn – you may they may pay all that off
yes.
very, very soon.
That's right. Yeah,
it all pays off 15 years later when
that's
they're
right.
a
yes.
professional
yes.
hockey player.
Exactly.
And we also have the Columbus Mavericks, which is junior hockey here in Columbus, and they play at the Chiller North, which is the location in Lewis Center.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, I always say watch those kids because you never know where they might end up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially with the CBJ having a bunch of rookies on, look where they came from. You
That's
know,
right.
it's so fun to watch those kids play. Especially, you know, like I mentioned earlier, watching the OSU women's team up there in Chicago, where we're neck and neck with Wisconsin the whole game. I just happened to be watching the whole game, and Buckeyes got on top there right at the last second, almost in overtime there. Mm-hmm. So, good job, girls, and of course, good job, Ohio State. Did you end up going to the that
I
hockey
did not.
Game?
I was going to, but I didn't. Yeah, the roads were kind of rough.
Yeah,
so.
That's when we had that winter storm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but I have visited at OSU for some of the hockey games, and it is a lot of fun. And for the most part, it's free parking, unless there's like some strange event that's also happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Then you might have to pay. But I've been down to OSU games at the Shot for the men, and it's free parking. Mm. And you just, you know, get your ticket and go on in, and they have merchandise. If you want to, I've got a couple of t-shirts that have the OSU hockey logo on it. And I really cherish those.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we just have a few minutes left. So final thoughts on the Blue Jackets, where we're heading through this long road trip.
You go ahead, Darren.
Well, not exactly on message, but they just released the Winter Classic jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
They look sweet. I might actually buy one.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You think about it? I might have to look into that, too. I did kind of dig the Winter, or not Winter Classic, the Stadium Series jerseys.
Yeah. Sorry, Stadium Series. Yeah, Stadium Series jersey. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's got a big cannon on it, which is my preferred logo. Me I like too. That better, but it's the blue coloring, so it's kind of a mix of both. I think they look really sharp.
Yeah, I think they did nice.
I honestly think they did nice, too. I'm still debating if I want to go to that game, because going to the Shoe is a pain in the rear end, but at the same time,
there is no question you have to go to the game. Why are we even discussing this?
I know, but it's the Shoe, and the ice rink is so small. It's like, will I actually see it?
It's never going to come back here again in our lifetime.
Probably not.
Yeah, that's true. I know. Unless we go to a away Stadium Series that has nothing to do with here, but that is true. But my final thoughts is we got to keep winning. Keep that road streak going. And I forgot to mention earlier, the Hurricanes are on a 2-game losing streak, by the way. So that's why we are catching up to them a little bit.
Okay.
So Hurricanes are on a 2-game losing streak. We're on a 6-game winning streak. So let's hope the Canes keep losing and we keep winning.
There you go. All right, guys. We thank you so much for listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. And go Blue Jackets. Have a great weekend.